This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Never settle. Unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. Experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnan. He's one of the employee owners at Tab. Comes in and helps me out with your computer problem, comments, questions, and concerns. We had our Christmas party last night.
Oh, yeah.
And that was fun, huh?
It definitely.
First time we've had a Christmas party as employee owners, so it was definitely a different approach for us. We enjoyed it still.
It was great.
We missed our founder there, TJ, but we muddled through without him.
If you want to call it that.
Managed to get through. But we are here live this morning. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. And also, you know, we don't go and do the, we're not going out to do the holiday store things. We don't generally do that as our show. But please, if you'd like to support the Salvation Army Holiday Store, you can do it very easily, very geeky, very, very technically. You just simply text the words WTIC to 41444. And then you can make your donation simply easy, no matter where you are in the country, right? Salvation Army is a great cause. And so if you're looking to help, or if you find any value in what we do for the past 28 years and you want to say, hey, I'll say thank you in some way, go ahead and do that with the Salvation Army in this holiday season. Just text WTIC to 41444 and we'd appreciate it. So as usual and customary, we have our technology news.
Oh, yeah. And there is a cloud company that many of our listeners may not have heard of.
Right.
But they are pioneers in cloud technology. I mean, they were one of the first big cloud providers.
And they're publicly traded.
And they're a publicly traded company. It's called Rackspace.
Yes, Rackspace.
And they have had a very bad week, and they're probably going to have a very bad year.
Yes.
It seems that they're hosted exchange email service.
In the cloud.
In the cloud.
They're an open cloud company, as they
right.
call it.
And that was attacked and ransomed, it seems, and it's been shut down.
For almost a week now.
Almost a week, and it will remain shut down for probably quite a while longer.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a hardship for a lot of businesses that signed up with them.
Right.
And not only are they not getting their mail.
Right.
They don't have access to their historical mail.
Right.
So they can't necessarily even get, you know, the emails they had, you know, a month ago or whatever.
Right.
And it's a massive hardship.
Right.
Colossal.
Millions of people who have paid, you know, millions of mailboxes literally are on these Rackspace servers.
Mm-hmm.
And this Axios article says, why it matters. The crisis provides a window into the hidden world of email hosting. It's not hidden, guys.
No.
It's just somebody else's servers, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
It's nothing hidden about this. And these guys at Rackspace got nailed, right?
Yeah.
This is again, an accident waiting to happen on anybody else's servers. You know, everyone in these small businesses and even mid-sized businesses, oh, you know, I'll put it in the cloud and I can not worry about anything. Yes, you do.
Absolutely, you do.
It's the exact same issue. All you've done is move your problem to somebody else's data centers and you just hope that they're going to take care of things. Well, in this case, Rackspace didn't.
No.
And you could have mitigated it, right? So if you use some of our mail protection services, if you're using Rackspace, we would have allowed you to actually still send and receive mail with our DR portal,
right,
our disaster recovery portal.
And what else would we have done with that mail?
Backed it up. So you would have been able to actually, if you wanted to punt Rackspace, like literally Rackspace is telling people, go ahead and migrate to 365.
Oh, yeah.
So they're saying, punt yourself out of here. You could have taken the data that you would have backed up and migrated it somewhere else. But so many people say, I put it in the cloud and I don't have to worry about it. You have to worry about it, guys. Just somebody else's servers. And so we've had to do emergency mail work this past week. Now, we don't sell Rackspace. These are customers who happen to have it.
Right.
And we don't force our customers to buy this or that. If they're happy with that technology, we're not going to make it change it. However, now you see, it's hard to say to somebody, you know, you could really have an issue. Oh, yeah, really, Eric? Yeah, you just want to sell me something. Okay, fine. Don't do it.
And then find out what happens to you down the road.
Here you go. So Rackspace is down. Millions of email boxes are locked up, and the data is not there, and it's ransomed. And we'll see what they do as far as recovery. Hopefully Rackspace had a backup. Depends on what they consider a backup. Is it just a sync to another data center that's also ransomed?
Right. That is what I'm – given how long it's taken them to deal with this,
right,
that's what I think they've been doing.
Right, and it reminds you of Final Site, which is that Glastonbury company that was offering websites on the Google Cloud to all sorts of schools and all over the country, and they got ransomed on the Google Cloud.
Right.
And Google was saying, oh, you know, go over to us and we'll get immediate recovery is what they offered, Google did, in their actual thing. Well, nothing was immediate about Final Site's getting their systems back up and running after they were ransomed. So understand, when you put all those eggs in that basket, if the basket has no idea what they're doing as far as protecting the basket, here's where you are. And then we're going to actually have Wes Bryan on at 10:05. He's going to join us talking about DR and disaster recovery and a little bit about Rackspace and what happened. But the idea here is, guys, you got to pay attention to this stuff and don't assume. I mean, I don't know how many examples we have to give you of cloud failure before you understand that all it is moving your problems to somebody else's servers that are no longer in your reach.
Right.
And then when the CEO comes to you and says, hey, how come I can't get email? Well, we had this meeting and we all agreed to go to the cloud over there and I can't do anything about it. Well, the CEO might also be a little upset about that. Well, if you told him as a CIO what the risks are, but you didn't know the risks, that's part of the problem. You assumed that your stuff is going to be all protected and backed up and the cloud is just unfallible.
Right. And it's not.
Yeah. So we'll put some links up there for some articles you can read. And sorry if you have a Rackspace mailbox and you can't get your email, but we're not surprised. In other news, did you want to bring some crypto talk up?
Oh, yeah. There's an interesting development in the crypto industry.
And the crypto implosion?
I was going to say, we all know it's undergoing an implosion.
Right.
There's a list. The list of crypto companies that are going bankrupt or just liquidating is getting longer and longer.
Right.
Well, it turns out there are some crypto companies that are defaulting on loans that they had.
Right.
Because, hey, I mean, you know, crypto's the thing, and I'm just going to spend a whole lot of money doing whatever.
Right. They bought equipment to do the mining per se.
Right. And they also paid people to set up exchanges or investment funds, whatever. All that stuff is collapsing.
Right.
And these guys are left without an ability to repay some of these loans. So what are they doing?
With real money, by the way.
Right.
For some reason, the loans don't want their crypto garbage.
Right.
They want real money.
Well, sure.
I mean, if they accepted crypto, everything would be fine.
Right.
If you just said, here is my token, it would work. But for some reason, they don't want to accept a token, Dennis.
Imagine that.
Why don't they accept tokens?
A bank doesn't want tokens?
No. I wonder why. Well, probably because it's not a thing. But let's continue.
At any rate, what some of these companies are doing is they're repaying their loans in the form of handing over their crypto mining rigs.
Right. So it's like going bankruptcy and handing the keys to the, here's my computers, you can have them.
Right. And here's the problem with that.
Yeah.
Those crypto mining rigs were very expensive a year or two ago.
Right, because of all the issues getting the video cards that they use to process all that crypto processing. It was ridiculous. They drove the prices way high.
Right, and those prices have come down. And why? Because crypto mining is not much of a thing anymore.
Right.
So the upshot is that these crypto rigs are now worth almost nothing.
Right.
So they're trying to hand these things off as payment for their loans.
Well, it's almost like handing off tokens then, I guess. So Jamie Dimon, whatever you think of him, he's a CEO of JP Morgan. I just read this recently. He goes, this is in quotes, "Why do we allow this stuff?" Question mark. Jamie Dimon says, "Investing in crypto tokens is like buying pet rocks." So he couldn't say it better,
pet rocks.
As far as I'm concerned. Crypto is... God, I mean, I don't know how many financial crises you have to go through to realize if you really think crypto is a thing, and you remember the SNL debacles, Enron, the 2008, the mortgage investments that people were putting in those
credit default swaps.
Yeah, all that was those were things too, guys. Actually, backed by actual real things. This is crypto mining, which is not a thing. If the banks won't accept a token in payment, it's not a thing.
Right.
The moment the bank says, yes, I'll take your token. Again, I used to use tokens and I used to go to the arcade. Right. You take your real money and you convert it into tokens. Well, then that's crypto. If I can go to a bank with my little piece of metal token and say, hey, bank, give me $100 for this piece of metal. Hey, then fine. You're right. I'm wrong. Crypto's a thing.
But, true.
But all it is, it's nothing. So we're enjoying the implosion, and I actually think pet rocks did better.
I was going to say there were actually people paying money for pet rocks.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like if you can convince somebody to name a star after you, right? That was another thing.
Right.
I mean, those are beautiful marketing things that say, hey, buy a pet rock. You're not going to lose billions of real dollars selling stars or buying pet rocks, but people were bilked out of billions of actual dollars by just awful people. And keep it up, guys. I mean, Fidelity is allowing it in your retirement. I don't know what you're smoking out there, guys. I know it's legal in Connecticut, like starting tomorrow, to start smoking some stuff or whatever it is soon. But whatever you're smoking, crypto is not a thing. So
right.
I don't know. We'll put some stories up here for you to take a look at when you get a chance. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We got one line open for you. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. And if you feel you want to donate to something, if you feel our show has some value to you and you've been meaning to do something for the holidays, text WTIC to 41444 and make a donation to the holiday store. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. Four lines all jammed up. We appreciate that. Dennis and I were not live last week. I had to go head up north to see my mother-in-law, who was recovering from literal brain surgery. But she's doing great. So we're here live to help you guys today. And let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to Emma first. What's going on, Emma?
Hi.
Hello.
I think I've been hacked.
Uh-oh.
My computer, my cell phone, my tablet. I have obviously too many devices here.
All right. So how do you think you've been hacked?
Videos are buffering a lot, and just they don't look right. My phone's been heating up. The battery's been draining, and this is all suddenly and constant.
Okay.
I noticed on my computer the other day it took like 5 tries for me to be able to log in, which never happened before.
All right. So far we would not agree that you're hacked.
No.
So that's probably the good news.
Well, the thing is too, I was visiting a site and noticed some strange comments, replies to my comments on the website that made me think that I'm being watched on my cell phone. Very creepy and personal stuff.
Okay, well, that would lead to some upsetting feelings.
Oh, yeah.
So you'd want to go check on your cell phone to see if there are any malicious apps on it. I guess we can recommend you download an antivirus tool called ESET.
Yeah, ESET.
I have, what's it called?
ESET, E-S-E-T.
E-S-E-T?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I have Viper on there right now.
Okay, well then, that's fine.
Oh, Viper should be pretty good.
Yep, so forget that. You're running your antivirus. The key is, what apps are on your phone that are causing it to overheat, run in the background? How old's your phone?
Well, it is a couple years old.
A couple's fine.
Yeah.
You know, people making creepy comments is pretty much what the internet is for. So keep that in mind. That's kind of what it's been based on.
Yeah, but if they're mentioning stuff that's personal,
yeah,
that, you know you've just done or just really weird personal comments.
Mm.
And I admit that when checking my emails, too, I think I might have clicked on something that I shouldn't have as well.
Well, you can run Malwarebytes also on your computer to see if there's anything there. But understand that the data we put out on the internet is available to everybody. So are you in Facebook?
No.
Okay. Are you on any type of social media that people might find this information readily, easily?
It's usually just like, watching videos on different sites, but not like Twitter or anything. It's more like Odyssey, YouTube,
okay.
BitChute.
All right. Well, I just don't know. We haven't really heard enough to see that you're quote unquote hacked per se.
Is it possible maybe her email account got compromised?
That's possible, right? Somebody's reading your email. If you're sending and receiving anything in your email that they could glean that might creep you out if they repeated it.
That would seem to me the most likely thing that we're talking about here.
Yeah. But where is your email? Where do you get your email, Emma?
Yahoo.
Yeah. That's not the best choice. So maybe you'd want to consider changing your email password. Make sure there's two-factor authentication turned on.
Yeah, Yahoo will allow that.
Mm-hmm. So lock that down. Do you know how to do that?
Yeah, I know how to do that.
Okay. And your slow internet issues, again, you can't really necessarily assume it has anything to do with hacking.
Are you streaming on devices in your home?
Yeah. The thing is, too, like, there's things that were mentioned online. Also, that I'm wondering if is it possible that they're able to get through to my IP address and that's how they're able to read things on my devices? Or, you know, is that possible?
Well, anything's possible, Emma, but I don't know that they would be doing that per se.
I've gotten so paranoid now that I don't know what to do. I'm afraid that if I try to reset my passwords on all my on the different sites that I visit, that they, if they're actually watching, that it's kind of defeating the purpose.
No, it wouldn't defeat the purpose if you turn on 2FA.
Right.
So even if they watched you lock the doors, they couldn't get to you with that second factor turned on to go to your phone.
How do you do that anyway?
We can post an article on how to set up 2FA for your Yahoo account anyway.
I'd appreciate that.
Sure.
What's your website?
ComputerTalkWithTab.com, the name of the show.com, which also works.
Okay.
All right, Emma, I don't think you have a major hacking issue here, but let's have you change some passwords and see what's going on. Try not to be too paranoid.
Yeah, I mean, changing your password shouldn't really hurt, it could help you a lot.
Yeah.
What if my name had gotten out there through my email server through Yahoo?
Your name is out there all sorts of ways. It all depends on where you frequent and what you post online, and if people find whatever you post online disagreeable or agreeable, if they want to mess with you. It's pretty much how the internet works.
I also talked to my internet provider, and they told me I explained to them. They said you can reset the router and it'll give you a different IP address. So I did that.
Good, good.
Yeah, that you can do.
We got to go, Emma. We're at a hard break here, but I hope that gives you some ideas, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome. We'll be right back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back, and we have our favorite bumpers for Christmas. Little Ho-Ho-Hoey, Gary Hoey. He plays all the instruments himself, which is kind of neat. One-man band. So let's get right to your calls, and we're going to do our best to help you out. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to Ed from East Haven, and Kevin says you have a computer issue.
Hello and good morning.
Good morning, Ed. What's your issue, sir?
Actually, it was shocked that I was asking about Windows 2000 Professional. That's why he kept it secret.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding. Yeah, it's probably smart that he kept it secret. We were like, get off our phones, Ed. You have a Windows 2000 Professional issue. Are you serious?
Yes.
No,
yes,
he is serious. Okay.
Yes, yes. And yes, it's time for upgrade. I understand this.
Yeah. Is this on a personal computer or a business machine?
Yes, actually, it's offline, and basically, it's used for entertainment, and that's all. You know, just looking up old pictures and stuff like that. That's
okay.
And what's happening is that PowerPoint is not opening. The file is there with all the program information. It gives me a quick wait timer and disappears, but the Excel and Word opened up no problem. So apparently what happened, I think I made a very short PowerPoint presentation of one slide, and I tried to put it into
that
a folder.
That is short.
Yes, and I guess what happened, it said something about a sharing violation. So from that point on, that's it. And I'm just very worried about restarting the computer because it may not start again, and
right.
It may make changes that I don't want. So I'm just wondering if there is a way to try to, open up that shortcut again.
Well, it looks like you saved it in the wrong spot. What do you think, Dennis?
Yeah, I'm also wondering if you can just open PowerPoint without
the file,
without opening
on
a file, just launch the program all by itself.
I have tried that, and if I look at Windows Task Manager and the processes, it does show me PowerPoint .exe continuously on, but the application is definitely not running. That's for sure.
Well, first kill that
right
from Task Manager.
Should I actually, it says like end process or
yes,
end
sir.
Process
end,
tree?
End process tree is what you want.
Okay. It says may terminate the process.
Yeah, it's going to give you all kinds of warnings. Don't care. Oh. Just do it.
Oh, yeah. Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay, I can say yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's that covers different DLLs that also load and other subtasks that go with it. But all of that is just going to be Office related, so there's no reason to worry.
Okay, I'm going to try to do the shortcut again and open. So, thank you very much. You fixed it.
Well, oh, it worked?
It's opening.
So here's the thing, Ed, right? You're afraid to reboot this computer, right?
Yes.
Have you backed it up?
I backed up a lot of it on a flash drive. Some things, it came back and told me about certain Windows programs that it would not complete. I guess maybe like Hive files or something like that.
Right.
But otherwise, the important folders were taken off of this hard drive. Yeah.
Okay, good. Because, yeah. I mean, eventually, you're right. It's not going to boot up. And if this didn't work, what Dennis had you do, the next step would be to reboot, freshen this system, right? But you're scared to do that.
Right,
yeah.
So I'm glad this worked for you.
Yes, because I thought maybe it was completely corrupted, but I said the program file was there. It kept on showing me that there the information was there and Windows Office there. But I said okay, I didn't delete that, but I guess it was just a file sharing violation. And then once that started, it would not restart.
Yep.
Now
PowerPoint. Now that we know what happened, I could explain it.
Mm.
There's. When you launch PowerPoint, it runs a bunch of other things so that you have other threads. Among other things, it will open some files, and it might have opened your PowerPoint file. And now you have an outstanding file handle.
Mm-hmm.
And then you launch the program again, and it can't open it because the file is locked.
Okay.
So by doing the end process tree on that PowerPoint task, you killed all of that stuff. Release the file handle, and now it's available for you.
Right, and that all is true amongst many, even current systems these days. I mean,
I run into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at least once a week, I have to do something like that with somebody's
file
computer.
Issues.
Yeah,
thank you so much. You guys are great.
Well, thank you, Ed, and you need to get a classic license plate for that thing.
Oh yes, thank you.
All right.
Take care now. Be well.
You too.
Okay.
Bye bye.
Bye now.
Windows 2000. Yikes. Sometimes I get nervous when we get calls like that because we've forgotten so much about how that operating system works.
Oh, I know.
It's crazy. All right, let's go to Alan. What's going on, Alan? Morning.
Hi. I called 2 weeks ago because I got a new computer and I wasn't sure how to transfer data. And you told me how to use RoboCopy to do that. And that went very well.
Oh, good.
Great.
But about 3 hours later, as I was installing new programs and the like, a window came up saying the computer needed to restart, and it listed about five different applications that it was in the process of downloading and installing, then waiting for restart.
Yeah,
right.
And when one of them, one of them had the word malicious in it. I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, that is probably Microsoft's monthly malicious file checker.
Right.
It gets refreshed once a month on Patch Tuesday, and it doesn't really install an update. What it does is it just runs on the computer to look for certain files or registry entries or whatever it is that Microsoft is looking for on computers that month.
Right.
And it runs to completion, and then it's done, and then everything else will get installed.
Okay. So, unfortunately, what happened when the last of the five said ready to restart, I got the computer went to a gray screen. And I assumed what was happening is it initiated a restart on its own, so I just let it sit.
Yeah.
And I let it sit for 15 hours, and it was still a gray screen.
Oh, that's probably a Windows 11 update issue.
Could be, or a feature update.
Yeah, it's a feature, all right. you're still stuck, right, Alan?
No, I did a hard reboot.
Yep.
Yeah.
And eventually it came up.
Mm-hmm.
But now every few hours I get some kind of crash. I either get a gray screen, I get a blue screen sometimes that says clock, watchdog, timeout.
Hmm.
And sometimes it just freezes. It freezes on Excel or Outlook or Firefox. Mm-hmm. And every time I do a hard reboot, and it comes back up, but it happens again, either minutes or hours again later.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if it's a hardware or a software issue. Mm-hmm. I ran something called DISM.
Yes.
And SFX.
SFC.
And it found the correct file and said it repaired it, but the problems still reoccur.
All right.
Your watchdog error is telling you there's a hardware problem.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's probably in the RAM.
Right.
I would say 80% chance it's the RAM, 20% chance that it's something going on with the hard drive, that when it reads a particular sector from the drive, some corrupted memory gets placed, and then it acts like the RAM is bad. But that's why I think it's most likely the RAM.
So how many sticks of memory do you have in there, Alan? Did you build a machine yourself, or is it something?
No,
that...
I bought the machine. It's an HP Envy. It has 32 gigs of RAM.
And probably two sticks.
Solid state and hard drive.
We're hoping it's in two sticks of RAM. So you need to call HP, unfortunately. Mm.
Yeah.
And get on with support because you have a warranty either with them or wherever you bought the equipment.
Yeah.
And
I got it from Costco, so they have their own warranty.
Yep.
Well, they have their own support. I could call them as well, I suppose.
Yeah. And then most likely you need to have your RAM swapped out. One of the sticks is probably bad, and you could be fine. They're going to run their own diags on it. They're going to try to figure out whether or not it's a bad stick, and then you'll be able to move forward. However, let this be a lesson to folks when you're loading software. Don't load a bunch. Not that this caused this, Alan. But you want to reboot after each software load. You don't want to do all of them and then reboot for five different softwares. It can get
I might have done that.
I know. I could tell you did that based on what you're saying. But normally you load software, reboot. Now you're done. Fresh. Next package. If you did it the way you did it, the DLLs that are going to be updated are going to be all different for all these packages, and who knows what's going to happen. I mean, it shouldn't cause an issue, but it can.
The other thing is when you're making any kind of a change to a computer, it's always best to make one change, See how that works.
Right.
Then you make another change. See how that works. That way, if something goes wrong with anything that you've done or installed or deleted or whatever it is that you did,
right,
you'll always be able to identify that as the culprit.
And go to recovery point.
And then you go to recovery point or do whatever you need to do to roll back just that one thing that you changed.
Right.
You're trying to isolate causes of any issues.
All right.
Okay.
Well, good luck with Costco HP support.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Alan.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, so we think he's got a physical issue there. We're going to step out for a quick break. Walter, Sue, and John, hang on. One line open for you. And then coming up at 10:05, Wes Bryan from IT Pro TV will be on with us. And we'll be talking about disaster recovery and just being prepared for a disaster. Like, clearly, Rackspace wasn't. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to get to your calls right now. So let's go right to Walter with a router question. Right, Walter? What's up?
Yeah, hey, how are you doing?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. I've got an old laptop with a Comcast internet service.
All right.
And I have a big black box that I always thought of as having both a router and a modem.
Yep, possibly.
Okay, it might be.
And on my laptop, I've got Malwarebytes, Norton 360, and CC Cleaner.
Okay. You got a lot of stuff going there.
Yeah.
The thing is, I'm going to get a new laptop, and I want to make sure whether or not I've got the router and what kind of router I should get and how to set things up.
Okay. Now, this is a timely question. So are you using the phone lines with Cox, or are you just using internet or Comcast?
It's Comcast, and it's internet and cable.
Internet and TV?
TV. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you
I'm thinking of going to NetSuite.
That'd be a tremendous thing. Trust me on that one.
Okay.
So you'll save a ton of money by going to NetSuite. Go to NetSuite. And you'll be continuing to improve our internet for everybody by offering that.
Oh gosh, I mean, that's the least I can do.
Yeah. So if you're looking to go NetSpeed, number one, you need to pay attention to the bandwidth you're buying, right? So let's say GoNetSpeed offers you 500. You need to make sure the router you purchase can handle that LAN to WAN throughput. I'll give you a quick story. I had a friend reach out to me and say, hey, I've got GoNetSpeed on the pole. And I was like, oh, very exciting. And he's saying, yeah, but I've got 800 megabits now with Frontier, and they're offering me 750 from GoNetSpeed. And I said to him, well, why don't you do a quick speed test for me on your computer? And guess how much internet speed he was actually using there, Dennis?
Oh, 100?
Yeah, 200.
200,
yeah, okay. So he was worried about losing performance by going to 750, but he really was so bottlenecked with his old router that he was only using 200, and guess what? He was happy, right? 200 was fine.
Yeah.
So, but the point is, if you want to get the LAN WAN throughput of what you're buying, I recently had to upgrade my firewall because GoNetSpeed is so fast that my firewall that I've been recommending for maybe 3 years now can't handle the LAN WAN throughput of that fiber. So, number one, decide how much bandwidth you need. For most people, a couple hundred megabits is plenty. You know,
how do you find out what speed your computer is running at?
You go to speedtest.net.
Yep.
We can post a link, but it's pretty easy.
Do a speed test on your system now, and if you're happy with your speed, then whatever you choose for the provider, you can say, "Hey, I want 150, 150, or 500, 500, whatever you want to purchase is up to you." The more you buy, you're just getting a big fire hose of speed. Now, for my kids and gaming, and even for me, it's funny. I'm a gamer. My wife hates that I am, but now even though I'm a slow 50-year-old online playing against these script kiddies out there, I can keep up with them because my ping is so fast that I can get them before they can get me, even though I'm slow. And my reactions are much slower than my younger kids. So if you need that kind of performance, Walter, if you're a gamer, you want a high speed fiber connection, go ahead.
Is there a problem inherent in having a difference between the speeds? Like if I bought a machine that could only handle 200 and my pipeline was giving me 500.
There's no computer out there you're going to buy that can't handle multiple gigabits of speed if you ever got to it. Gigabits typically is what your NIC card is going to be. But even 2 gig NICs are coming down the pike. So, that's not going to be an issue. The issue really comes down to making sure if you're going to put a firewall in that can take advantage of whatever you're buying. Because, again, an example of my friend, I don't want to give up anything, Eric, with my 800 megabits. We are only using 200.
Now, when you say firewall, you mean router.
I mean router, and I'll put a link to the router I'm talking about. But yes, you need to get the proper modem. If you go with GoNetSpeed, they're going to give you a beautiful modem that you use. It's not a true modem, and they always ding me every time I say the word modem. It's not a modem. It's something
else.
It
isn't. Yeah,
it's
like
a mux
of
some kind.
For it, yeah.
It's a fiber magic box.
Fiber mux.
Yeah. They only need one strand to do dual communications. It's really cool. All you need to do is get your firewall. I'll put a link up to the one that I chose, and it is giving me the performance. However, it also gives you 6 gigahertz on the Wi-Fi now. So you got your 2.4 band, your 5 gigahertz band, and now there's a new 6 gigahertz band, which most phones can't really use, that give you even faster speeds on your wireless devices. But I really stick with 5G still because that seems to be the fastest, believe it or not, because you had to be super close on that 6G. It's really weird.
Yeah.
So I'll put the link up there for you, Walter. I'm excited for you. How much bandwidth are you going to buy?
I have no idea.
How many people in your home?
Well, it's 2, but we really don't use much.
All right. Then I would suggest the 150 for you. And it'll be very affordable, and you won't even need to get a super powerful router. But the router I'm going to tell you about is only a couple $100. So
now, is the 150 the router?
No, that's your internet speed that you're going to that you're going to choose.
And then you're going to put out something.
Yep, I'll put a link for the actual router I chose. Doesn't mean it's the best router. It worked for me. I'm getting my bandwidth. I mean, there's other routers out there that'll give you those 500.
Okay, and then when you, in terms of putting things in order.
Yeah,
I'm assuming that the NetSpeed box goes first.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And then the router goes next.
Yep.
Then I've got the laptop.
And then the laptop, yeah. Mm-hmm. You're exactly right.
Yep.
Well, gentlemen, thank you so much. You're a public service.
Well, thank you, Sir Walter. And make sure you change that password on that firewall. Don't keep it as the default because guess what? I know it.
Yeah, well, I know. I changed it to password spelled backwards.
Oh, that's good. Good start. Thank you. Thank you for telling us. All right, Walter.
Take care, guys.
You got it. All right, so I'll put a link out there for you. It's a Linksys I chose because I was having the same issue. I got this super fast fiber connection from GoNetSpeed, and it was only showing me 250, 250 when I'm getting 500, 500.
If I remember right, the router firewall you had before wasn't lightweight.
No, it was a monster. I mean, it was such your hair would blow back a little bit when you walked in front for the Wi-Fi. Very powerful router, did a great job, but it couldn't handle the LAN. You got to make sure you look at your LAN WAN throughput of the device you're going to buy.
Right.
We find this in business, too, where people have put in routers that they get gig connections to their internet company, but they're using a router that can't send the packets. So you got to add both the 500 up and 500 down. Whatever your up and down speeds are is the total LAN WAN throughput that the router has to be able to sustain.
Yeah.
So if you get a 500 LAN WAN throughput and you have 500, 500, well, you're not only going to get 250, 250, if that makes any sense.
Yes.
But pay attention to that, guys. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Wes Bryan will be joining us very shortly. Let's see if I can get a call in real quickly before the top of the hour here, because we can go to the top here. We're going to go to, what is it, Bob in Hebron. What's happening, Bob?
Hi, I just bought a HP Envy desktop.
Okay.
And it's a 12th gen Intel Core processor, Windows 11. I just happened to catch out of the corner of my ear a couple shows ago, and you were kind of like dissing the even number generations.
Yes.
Like maybe it was the B team cranking them out.
Correct.
It could be.
Correct. You'll be fine, Bob.
I was just wondering if I ran the specs of this thing by you, what you think its potential for surviving for a while would be?
It's not the specs, believe it or not. I mean, the specs are probably beautiful. It probably has multiple high gigahertz speed, multiple cores. It just seems that there's issues with the even generations of processors. And we can find articles talking about it. They just seem to have issues with their even-gen processors. You may not have one. I mean, we're an Intel Gold provider. We put so many CPU systems out there for our clients that we're actually designated Intel Gold. And I can count on one hand the number of CPUs that have failed in our environment. And we've used even generations occasionally, too.
Right.
So it's just that we see it in the news that the even generations seem to have the most news about them.
Right. And we also see it in business settings.
Right.
Because we're setting up servers and things like that, or workstations that are running automation tasks like all day and all night.
Right.
And that's when you kind of really manifest some of these issues.
Yeah.
If you've got a laptop and you're working with it for half an hour at a time, you're probably never going to notice it.
Right. It's so,
my guess.
What are your? We're coming to the top of the hour here. What are your specs, just so you can get them off your chest?
Let's see. 32 gig.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
32 gig SRAM.
Yep. And what's the CPU spec, though?
Oh.
How many cores? How many gigahertz?
We'll see. 12th-gen Intel Core i7-.
Nice.
12700.
Okay. Oh, so it's probably 12 core.
12 core. Yep. Yep.
You got a good machine there, Bob.
Oh, you got a smoking machine.
Yeah, don't let us taint your feeling about it. You'll
yeah,
be fine.
Be happy with that. Wow.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
This is just a little footnote. It has no optical drive.
That's normal.
That's completely normal.
Yeah, we got to go, Bob, but thank you for letting us know.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
You got it. All right, bye-bye. News is next.
KYW News Radio and Deborah Heart and Lung Center team up to discuss arrhythmia, diagnosis, treatment, and management. Here's Rasa Kay.
If your doctor tells you your physical has turned up an arrhythmia, a rhythm disorder in your heart, that might cause it to skip a beat right then and there. But cardiac electrophysiologist Dr. Rafael Corbizero explains the biggest concern is, like a realtor says, location, location, location.
Arrhythmias are geographically specific. So it depends on where we are in the heart. In a normal heart, in a young, otherwise healthy patient, there are abnormal arrhythmias that can occur, most common of which is called supraventricular tachycardia. These are abnormal circuits based on the electrical anatomy. They are not life-threatening. They can be life-annoying, and they usually occur in the top or middle part of the heart.
Learn more at DeboraHealthReport.com.
New Jersey's only heart, lung, and vascular specialty hospital, Deborah Heart and Lung Center. When it's your heart, demand Deborah.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.